Christ has arisen. Alleluia. Rejoice and praise him. Alleluia. For our Redeemer burst from the tomb, even from death, dispelling its gloom. Let us sing praise to him with endless joy. Death's fearful sting he has come to destroy. Our sin forgiving, alleluia. Jesus is living, alleluia. For 3 long days the grave did its worst, until its strength by God was dispersed. His life did death undergo, and in its conquest his might did show. Let us sing praise to him with endless joy. Death's fearful sting he has come to destroy. Our sin forgiving, alleluia. Jesus is living. Said to them, do not fear. You look for Jesus who is not here. See for yourselves, the tomb is all bare. Only the grave cloths are lying there. Let us sing praise to him with endless joy. Death's fearful sting he has come to destroy. Our sin forgiving, alleluia. Jesus is living, alleluia. Go spread the news, he's not in the grave. He has arisen this world to save. Jesus redeeming labors are done. Even the battle with sin is won. Let us sing praise to him with endless joy. Death's fearful sting he has come to destroy. Our sin forgiving, Jesus is living, alleluia. Christ has arisen, he sets us free. Alleluia, to him praises be. Jesus is living, let us all sing. He reigns triumphant, heavenly King. Let us sing praise to him with endless joy. Death's fearful sting he has come to destroy. Our sin forgiving, alleluia. Jesus is living, alleluia.
The congregation is invited to stand. We follow the order of worship, Divine Service 3, which is on page 184 and also printed in your bulletin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor, miserable sinner,
confess all my sins and iniquities,
with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in this stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
I love the Lord because he has heard
my voice and my pleas for mercy.
Because he inclined his ear to me,
therefore I will call on him as long as I live.
The snares of death encompassed me.
The pangs of Sheol laid hold on me. I suffered distress and anguish.
Then I called on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, I pray, deliver my soul.
Gracious is the Lord and righteous.
Our God is merciful.
The Lord preserves the simple.
When I was brought low, he saved me.
Return, O my soul, to your rest.
For the Lord has dealt bountifully with you.
For you have delivered my soul from death,
my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling.
I will walk before the Lord
in the land of the living.
I believed, even when I spoke,
I am greatly afflicted.
I said in my alarm,
all mankind are liars.
What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me?
I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us.
Glory be to God on high,
and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.
We praise thee, we bless thee, we worship thee, we glorify thee, we give thanks to thee for thy great glory.
O Lord God, heavenly King, God the Father almighty, O Lord, the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, O Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, that takest away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sin of the world, receive our prayer. Thou that sittest at the right hand of God, the Father, have mercy upon us. For thou only art holy, thou only art the Lord. Thou only, O Christ, with the Holy Ghost, art most high in the glory.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. O God, through the humiliation of your Son, you raised up the fallen world. Grant to your faithful people, rescued from the peril of everlasting death, perpetual gladness and eternal joys. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The congregation may be seated. Our first reading is from Acts chapter 2, verse 14, and then it goes from verses 36 through 41. As you may recognize, this is Peter's sermon on that first Pentecost. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea, and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and give ear to my words. Let all the house of Israel, therefore, know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle reading, we also hear from Peter again, but from his first letter, from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 17 through 25. Peter writes, "And if you call on him as Father who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from your futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God, for all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We stand and sing the Alleluia verse.
Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter.
Glory be to thee.
The children who come up may want to listen carefully to this gospel reading because I'm going to talk about it. Listen two parts, okay? Listen. I begin with reading Luke 24, starting at verse 13. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you're holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened here, there, in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some of the women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as a woman had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'O foolish ones, and slow of hearts to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took the bread, and blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?' And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon.' Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee.
We confess our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. It is in the back cover of the hymnal. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins.
and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
The congregation may be seated. Are there any children that would like to come forward? Good morning.
Good morning.
Did you listen closely to the gospel reading? Okay, so here's some questions, okay? Do you remember how many disciples were walking on the road to Emmaus? You raising your hand with a number?
Two.
Two. Is that what you're going to say, two? Two, okay. Oh, I was going to ask, what village were they walking to? I just said it.
Emmaus.
Very good, Emmaus. Okay. So, who came up to talk to them as they were walking?
Jesus.
Jesus, good. Okay. Violet, see if you know this one. Did they know it was Jesus right away?
Yes.
No.
No, they didn't. Yeah, they didn't know it. They said, who is this? Oh, that's a stranger. He said, what are you talking about? And they said, are you the only person that doesn't know? And then they said some things about Jesus. Do you remember some things that they said?
He died on the cross,
right. Any other things that you remember that you said? Okay, so he died on the cross, and then they said, but we heard what?
He risen from the dead.
He risen from the dead, that's right. And they were amazed because they named several people. They said the women saw the empty tomb, and the women saw even
angels.
We remember that, right?
And the angels. Doorpost.
Yeah, he was on top of the doorpost, right? And he rolled the stone. So then, did they know what was happening?
No.
No. In fact, the Bible says, what I just read, said they were sad. They didn't know what to think. And then what did Jesus do? Do you remember?
He rose from the dead.
He rose from the dead, but what did he do? You're right.
He did a blessing,
and before the blessing, you're right, he did a blessing, but as they were walking, before they got to the house, what was he doing? Do you remember?
Talking.
He was talking, and he taught them from the Bible everything about him. And when they knew him, did they know him at the blessing?
No.
Yes.
Yes, they did. Sorry. When it says their eyes were open, God, Jesus allowed them to say, oh, this is Jesus. And then he disappeared. Jesus is powerful. And when he rose from the dead, he did that. He would come into rooms and appear, and then he would disappear after he rose from the dead. But they said to him, our hearts, do you remember the word it says? Our hearts were, it said, our hearts were burning in us when he was teaching us. So he taught them. He taught them. They were sad before. They were confused. They didn't know what to think. And when they were like that, what did Jesus do?
Appeared.
He appeared and he taught them, right? And so we're going to be thinking about that. That's what we need, is we need Jesus to teach us God's word. Okay? Okay. I'm going to sing a song, and then I know you know it. You sing along with me. The Bible, yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God. The Bible. One more time. The Bible, yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God. The Bible. And that's what Jesus taught. Jesus taught the Bible. He taught all the prophets.
But I thought we were supposed to say Bible.
Yes, Bible. Let's pray.
Dear Jesus,
thank you for dying and rising for me.
Thank you for forgiving my sins.
Please teach me your word.
And bless my family.
And bless my family.
In your name I pray.
In your name I pray.
Amen.
We sing the sermon hymn.
death and grave, saith he who gave his life for us, life renewing. Let praises ring, give thanks and bring to Christ our Lord adoration. His honor speak.
For the sermon this morning, we think on this narrative written down in Luke chapter 24 that we just heard read and then also reviewed with the children. To start, I reread verse 32. They said to each other, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?" May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Some of you like to follow along the notes and some like to just listen. I will say there's two places where I have scriptures written in there and I will read those. Jesus is meeting them, and they are confused and sad. And they needed his teaching. This is really, really what they needed. And notice how he, for his purposes and his design, kept them from recognizing him. They didn't realize it was him himself, Jesus, risen from the dead. But instead, as a stranger, appearing as a stranger to them, he talks to them and hears about their confusion and sadness. And they say, "We were hoping he would be the redeemer for Israel. He was the one to redeem Israel. He was a mighty prophet, and he did all these miracles and had all these teachings, and we were hoping he was the one to redeem Israel." So there was that hope. Hoping for salvation from him, hoping that the promises of the Old Testament would come true. That's what they're talking about. And they're saying, "Well, some of us in our group who followed him have seen the empty tomb." And the women said they saw the empty tomb and even saw angels, but we don't know what to make of it. Scripture says they were sad. And Jesus says to them, "O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." He points their hope, their understanding of all that's happened, to the scriptures, to the prophets. He wants them to know what God has promised, and thus, if they know what God has promised, how it fits to what he's done, there their chaos will and confusion will go. They will find joy and gladness in the facts that are happening all around them. God has planned and promised this. And so it says there in the text, that Jesus, and it's an interesting word that Luke uses here, Jesus interpreted Moses and all the prophets about himself to them. And that's an interesting thing. It's not teach, it's not preach, it's not proclaim, but the word really is relating the Greek to interpret, which means to bring into their language, to make it known to them plainly. It's like an interpretation when you go from German to English, or from Greek to English, or Concomba to English, or English to Concomba. Interpret. to make known in your own understanding. So this was a thorough teaching and interpretation. He's saying, look, this is what Isaiah meant. Look, this is what David meant in Psalm 110. Look, this is what the promise was in Genesis 3:15. Look, this is what the Levitical sacrifices about the Day of Atonement was about me finally. I'm finally the Lamb of God. And he points all these things out, Moses and all the prophets, concerning him. So they invited him to come along to their house. He's pretending still, just hiding his person to them, or hiding his identity to them. He said, come stay with us. It's late. It appears that he started blessing communion, but he didn't finish it. It was just started it, breaking of the bread, the term for communion. Just started it, and he disappeared. Didn't we know it was him when he was teaching us the scriptures on the road? Our hearts were burning. It's interesting, when Jesus just appears and disappears, that's not the surprise, that's like the surprising thing to us in our way of thinking. But what they're concerned about, and what's surprising to them, and what's marvelous to them, wasn't that Jesus could appear and disappear before their eyes, but that he was teaching them from the scriptures and opening their eyes to what it all had happened, to the reality of what God had done and was doing. Without Jesus' teaching, without his interpretation of these texts, they would have remained confused. Notice he didn't reveal himself during his teaching and interpretation to them of the scriptures. He wanted them to hear the scriptures plain, how it foretold him. All the details. The angels appeared to the women, but there is still confusion. But it's the word of God that Jesus knew they needed to know and understand. Not even angels could clarify Jesus' own teaching. And it's interesting, I studied just a little bit that word, that our hearts were burning while he was opening our minds to the scriptures. And it's just burn, it just means ignite. Well, Jesus is foretold to do that for his people. In Luke chapter 3, when the people were coming to John the Baptizer, he said that Jesus would baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. That's what John said in chapter 3 of Luke. I read that passage. As the people were in expectation and all were questioning in their hearts whether concerning John, whether he might be the Christ, John answered them all saying, I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I is coming, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. John baptized with water for repentance. But John said, the one who's coming after me is going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Okay, that helps us think about Jesus and what he's doing now after he's risen from the dead. He's having their hearts burn with his word and his teaching. But also, what's going on further with that? And I also thought of the prophecy about Jesus, which I suspect he also explained to them that time, that journey on the road, from Malachi, which is the last book in the Old Testament, Malachi chapter 3. Malachi prophesied that the messenger of the covenant would purify God's people. Listen to this. And there's two messengers, and I have it marked. One messenger is John the Baptist, but the other messenger is the messenger of the covenant, and that's Jesus. Malachi said, "Behold, I send my messenger," that's John, "and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, and the messenger of the covenant," that's Jesus, "in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver, and they will bring offerings and righteousness to the Lord. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord as in the days of old, as in former years." Now, Jesus is the messenger of the covenant. And Malachi says here, this messenger of the covenant, what he's going to do is he's going to purify and refine the Levites. Okay, little explanation, what's going on here. Malachi is the last prophet of the Old Testament times. Then there's about 400 years before the birth of Jesus. But one of the problems in, it's a short book, four chapters, one of the problems in Malachi that he is dealing with is that the prophets were not faithful and were, the priests were not faithful and were not teaching the people correctly and other things. And so he has a complaint against the priests. But then in chapter 3, he says, but there is a messenger going to prepare the way, John, for the messenger of the covenant, the great covenant that God has with his people, the new covenant, the renewed covenant, the messenger of the covenant. And what is this messenger going to do? He's going to purify the Levites. The Levites is the tribe of the priests. He's going to purify the priests and refine them, and then they will worship, and then they will be in righteousness when they worship. There is this prophecy and promise through Malachi that God's priests, their lives would be purified, and they would be righteous, and they would be holy. Well, lo and behold, we learn in the New Testament that God makes all of Jesus' disciples into a kingdom of priests. This prophecy is not only about those leading worship, that tribal group, but all of the disciples following Christ. His job, Jesus' job, is to purify us and to give us righteousness so that we can know God and worship him. And how did he do this? How did he bring this purity and burning to those two on the road, Emmaus? He taught them his word. He taught them and opened their minds to all these promises of the Old Testament and how he has fulfilled them. And his disciples, when they recognized him in the breaking of the bread, said, "Aha, God has done his promises. This is the Savior. We are forgiven. He is alive." And they ran right away to tell the other disciples what Jesus has taught them. We Christians who are living 2,000 years, more or less a few years, after Jesus has risen from the dead, where do we find our hope and our chaos and our hope from our chaos? And where do we find teaching? And where do we find the interpretation of what's going on around us? We find it in God's word. And it is Jesus, by the Holy Spirit and his word, that opens our eyes to perceive the importance of Jesus' resurrection and what that means for us. And it opens our eyes to see the problems in the world and how it needs Jesus Christ. And it opens up our eyes to how we need his word in our lives And we need to teach his word. It is a joy and wonderful to be hearing a sermon or in Bible class, or maybe you're listening to a teaching or preaching on the radio or a podcast about God's word, and you have like, oh, I didn't know that before. Oh, God really does that? Oh, those O's, those recognitions of God's truth in the text, that's the burning and purifying of Jesus in his word for us. It's really happening. It's just not an intellectual thing. It's that, but it's more. It's in our lives. And that's what Jesus wants to do and does for us. We pray. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for sending your Son to die for us and for teaching us, for interpreting to us your will, your word, your promises. Help us always to be open to your word every day of our lives till the day we die on this earth, so that we may always know of your love, may always know of your grace, may always know of your promise in Jesus Christ to bring us to heaven. Keep us true and keep us faithful. All these things, Heavenly Father, we bring to you in the holy name of Jesus. Amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We sing the offertory, "Create in me a clean heart, O God." The congregation is invited to stand as we sing.
Create in me a clean heart, O God.
Continue with the prayer of Zion Lutheran Church as printed in the bulletin. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
That we may perceive Christ, who expounded the scriptures and revealed himself in the breaking of the bread, and that we may rejoice in the gifts of his salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
That our piety may be renewed this Eastertide, and that we may grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
That the God of all compassion, whose Spirit opens the Holy Scriptures, would enlighten this congregation with a resurrection light that never fades, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all parents, that God would continue to pour out his Spirit upon them, to teach and raise their children faithfully in his word, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all Zion's food pantry activities and distribution, that all involved, the clients and volunteers and donors, may all be blessed in both sharing and receiving the gifts of God, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our nation and the world, that the powers of darkness would be stifled and the reign of war, violence, and terror come to an end. For our leaders, that they would work for the common good and pursue righteousness. For President Biden, the Congress of the United States, Governor DeWine, all state and local officials, all medical and emergency workers, and all members of law enforcement and the armed forces, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who suffer and cry to God, that he would hear them and answer with grace sufficient for all their needs, for the sick, the wounded, and the dying. We remember Margaret and Charlotte, Bernetta, Bill, Gary, Bryston, Brad, Don, James, Joe, Kim, Andrew, Mary Ellen, Mary, Sue, and Steve, Rick, Brandy, Maverick, Heather, Gary, Mark, Helen, Michael, Ray, Ezekiel, the Rodriguez family, Charles, Sandy, and Pastor Shiwi. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
That we would know Christ and his compassion through the breaking of the bread, and that our hearts and mouths would be open to receive forgiveness through the body and blood of Christ who suffered for us and has entered his glory. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
O Lord, have mercy on us
when we are foolish and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken about your Son. Pour out your Spirit on us through the preaching of the gospel, that the scriptures might be open to us. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God. And most especially, we are bound to praise you for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, the very Paschal Lamb who was sacrificed for us and bore the sins of the world. By his dying, he has destroyed death, and by his rising again, he has restored to us everlasting life. Therefore, with Mary Magdalene, Peter and John, and with all the witnesses of the resurrection, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we loud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Lord's Prayer. Our Father,
who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come,
thy will be done,
on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom,
and the power,
and the glory,
forever and ever.
Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Welcome to the table of the Lord. Take and eat. Welcome to the table of the Lord. Take, eat, the true body of Christ, which is given for you. Take and eat the very body of Christ, which is given for you. Take and eat the true body of Christ, given for you.
Now I am safe from evil and sin.
Now may this true body and blood of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in the one true faith until life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen.
The world against me rages, its fury I disdain.
Welcome to the table of the Lord.
The bitter war it wages.
Take and eat the true body of Christ, which is given for you. True body and blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in the one true faith until life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Now I will cling forever to Christ, my Savior true. My Lord will leave me never, whatever he passes through. He rends death's iron chain, he breaks through sin and pain, he shatters hell's grim thrall. I follow him through all. He brings me to the portal that leads to bliss untold, where on this road
Christ bless you and protect you forever. Amen.
Lamb's high feast we sing. Praise to our victorious King, who has washed us in the tide flowing from his pierced side. Alleluia. Praise we
receive this dismissal blessing. Now may this true body and blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in the one true faith until life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen.
Amen.
Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace. Thou hast prepared me.
give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endures forever.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
You're invited to stand or sing for our final hymn, 482.
This joyful Easter tide, away with sin and sorrow. My love, the crucified, has sprung to life this morrow. Had Christ, who once was slain, not burst his three-day flood has lost its chill since Jesus crossed the river. Lover of loves from ill, my passing soul deliver. Had Christ, who once was slain, not burst his three-day prison, our faith had been in vain. But now has Christ arisen, arisen, arisen. But now has Christ arisen. My flesh in hope shall trump from east to west shall wake the dead in number. Had Christ, who once was slain, not burst his three